I lived in a place that had mold. And so oftentimes, like you mentioned, a lot of people don't feel like they have mold. But if you've ever lived in a home that in its history before you had any sort of busted pipe or leaky roof or flood in the basement, then it's highly likely that you had mold exposure. And it's just, you know, sometimes it's not everything, but it's just another toxin that's accumulating in your body that's causing immune system dysfunction, that's allowing more infections to become more opportunistic.
Welcome to the Menopause Mastery Podcast, a show for women just like you who are ready for more health, vitality, passion, living life with a purpose. I created this show because I knew that women just like me in this second season of life, the season of menopause, are really tapping into their deepest desires. And we're ready to harness our physical and mental health and explore what our true passions are and peel back the layers to uncover exactly what we want out of life. I'm your host, Betty Murray, part geek, part magician, and your new medical bestie with a dash of sass. I love taking the complex science and making it easier to integrate into daily life. So let's join the journey to make this season the best ever.
So what if I were to tell you there are five toxic elements that are leading to your chronic fatigue, your sleep problems, your pain? And today I'm going to talk to Dr. Evan Hirsch, the Energy MD, and we're going to go into how to correct your fatigue problems without spending tens of thousands of dollars on tests. And he's going to go into all the things that you need to do. So, Dr. Evan, thank you for joining us on Menopause Mastery.
Dr. Betty, thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you. So let's get into the toxic five, and then I'm going to come back and ask some personal questions. But I got sensational quick, so I think we got to like get into what they need to know. Let's get into the meat of it, because I think people are struggling and they have no idea why.
So when I see people who have low energy and they're just not getting better, 9.5 times out of 10, it's because they haven't addressed the toxic five. So these are the things that are really the underlying root causes. And they are heavy metals, chemicals, molds, infections, and trauma. It's always a combination of those. And the reality is that more times than not, it's all of those. The question is not whether or not you have them. It's a question of how much of each do you have.
That's great. I mean, it's, you know, it's so challenging because I think, you know, people have read, Dr. Wilson's book way back when, you know, adrenal fatigue. And they're like, oh, it must be my adrenals. It's got to be this organ is failing. So therefore, I need to fix this organ or I need to take thyroid meds. And they don't realize it's this combination of things that all of us have been exposed to.
Exactly. And adrenals definitely play a role. And sex hormones definitely play a role. And thyroid and mitochondrial function and all these things. But those are kind of consequences of these toxins. So when these toxins build up in your body over time, they end up compromising the adrenals and the thyroid and the mitochondria and the sex hormones and the vitamins and the minerals, et cetera. So you end up with deficiencies. And so when you replace those deficiencies, you're going to feel better. But then generally people plateau and they really just don't get all the way better until they address the toxic five.
Absolutely. So I'm curious, Evan, how did you get into what you're doing today? Because all of us have a story. I'd love to hear your story.
Yeah. So my story actually started when I met my wife. I had started my residency. She was in town and we fell madly in love. And 3 months later, she couldn't get out of bed. And so she had chronic fatigue. It lasted for the better part of 3 years. She got better. We ended up getting married, having a child. I started my own practice. And then a couple years into that, I got chronic fatigue and it lasted for about 5 years. And it just about destroyed my life, destroyed my relationships. We had this new baby and she was coming out of her chronic fatigue. And I would come home from work and I would lie on the couch and I couldn't play with my daughter. It just broke my heart. Just like, daddy, play with me. I couldn't do it. I was napping in my desk at work. I was already practicing functional medicine at this point in time, but I had to close my door, lock it, get under my desk and take naps at different times during the day because I had all this shame around not being able to treat myself. And I was taking a bunch of things. I was working on my adrenals and my thyroid and mitochondria or whatever, and it just wasn't enough. Right. And so I had to go through this journey of figuring out. I knew from my training and from functional medicine and environmental medicine that if I knew the causes, I could fix them. And what I ended up finding was that there were 38 different causes and I had 30 of them and I had to go through and I had to fix all of them. in order to get the great energy that I have today.
So this brings me to a very interesting question, because obviously if we've got 38 causes and we have to find 30, and this is coming from somebody who does a fair amount of testing, but I'm also, you know, talking to people sometimes and I'm like, we have enough data. So, you know, you probably see this too, right? It's like peeling back a layer of an onion, and you have a unique perspective on testing and also where to sort of put your thoughts and pocketbook, really, to kind of figure out how to address it. I'd love for you to kind of dig into that, because I think it's important.
Yeah, I had somebody who I had a call with the other day, and she's like, wait a second, this practitioner over here is saying that I need $5,000 worth of labs before I even start with them, and your program for 12 months is $5,000. And so people are surprised when they learn that they can do so much of this without labs. And this really only came after a decade of doing fatigue and seeing time and time again that the labs were not going to change my treatment. Because that's always the question that you want to ask. And as a practitioner, is the lab going to change my treatment? Now, when I was in medical school, this was one of the things that rang true in conventional medical school, was that diagnosis really comes from history plus symptoms plus labs plus physical exam. But history and symptoms are about 90%. And then labs and physical exam really are more about 10%. And that's actually very true in the work that we're doing too. So of the 38 different causes that we look at, I used to say that like 75% of those can be determined by symptoms alone. So based off of your symptoms, we're going to know 75% of those. But now what I'm seeing is that those that really required labs, which were part of the toxic five, like the heavy metals, the chemicals, and the molds, what I'm seeing now is that everybody that I treat, they all end up having these toxins. And so I've kind of stopped doing those labs, because what I'm finding is that if you don't necessarily test for having those toxins now, when we start to remove some of these other toxins, because they're really all bound up in what I call this toxic matrix. So like, let's say we start to remove some of the heavy metals, then oftentimes, if you're not testing positive for molds right now, in 3 or 6 months, all of a sudden those pathways are now open. Now you're testing positive for molds. So you didn't get there overnight. And these toxins really accumulate over time. And all of them really need to be addressed. So I'm, you know, the more and more that I do this, the better that I get at this, the more that I'm realizing is that I really don't need to be doing as many labs as I have done, if at all. And that all labs, and the other point on this is that all labs are imperfect, you know, and so we always have to take labs with in context with history and symptoms. Because if somebody has low thyroid, but their labs show that their thyroid is fine, we still need to be treating them for low thyroid and optimizing their thyroid subjectively, so like based off of their symptoms. So that's my novel take on laboratory testing.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Like I said, I do a fair amount of testing. Like I'm very much a fan of hormone metabolism testing, particularly if somebody's going on bioidentical hormones. But you know, a big part of that test is also looking at adrenal function. So I'll have a lot of women go, oh, I definitely need that. I definitely need that. I'm like, I can ask you 4 questions and I'll know where you are on that continuum. You know, I can tell you, you know, and I could probably generalize it now. If you're over 50, you're probably in this camp if you haven't fixed. Right. You know, and so I think it's judicious use of testing to get to an outcome where you're going to change what you're doing, because that's ultimately it. You know, if it was all covered, it'd be great to have that data and go, cool, look at how interesting I am and, you know, how messed up I am, which I call the bunco tests, right? Like you go to bunco and show all your friends, oh my gosh, look at what's showing up. It's not always great because it does absorb a lot of what people really need to get help. So this is interesting. So obviously we have these toxins, we have the method of how we get them, and all of us have that. Go into a little bit, because I think a lot of people think, well, there's no way I could have mold toxicity, or I don't work in a metal shop. How could I have heavy metals? You know what I mean? So right. Run down, just in case people aren't clear where they might get those.
Yeah, I think that's really important. So the first thing that people need to know is that you come out of the womb with a number of toxins. So there's been studies to show that over 300 different chemicals are found in babies' cord blood. So that means that in the placenta, there are over 300 different chemicals. This is heavy metals and chemicals, essentially, that end up in the baby from mom. So mom dumped all the good stuff and all their bad stuff into their babies, unfortunately. And so consequently, you already come out with those. And then we accumulate toxins throughout our lives. So my story was that, you know, I started off, I wasn't eating organic food back in the 80s. So there was a lot of pesticides on the food. I ate a lot of gluten and dairy, which constipated me. And so I was having a bowel movement like once a week. So I couldn't get toxins out of my body and I was just reabsorbing them. I had fillings in my mouth. So those silver fillings are half silver, half mercury. Every time you bite down, you're releasing mercury vapor. You're absorbing that. I ate a lot of tuna fish. All fish, unfortunately, now, except for the really tiny ones like the anchovies and the sardines, all fish, the bigger the fish, the more heavy metals and mercury they have in them. And this is because in our oceans, from coal plants and the vapor from the coal plants, they go into the oceans. And so now, unfortunately, all our sea life has mercury in it. And so consequently, I was accumulating a lot through tuna fish and seafood growing up. I lived in a place that had mold. And so oftentimes, like you mentioned, a lot of people don't feel like they have mold. But if you've ever lived in a home that in its history before you had any sort of busted pipe or leaky roof or flood in the basement, then it's highly likely that you had mold exposure. And it's just, you know, sometimes it's not everything, but it's just another toxin that's accumulating in your body that's causing immune system dysfunction, that's allowing more infections to become more opportunistic. And so once again, these are just kind of accumulating. And generally people will say, nah, I don't have any mold, but then they'll come back a week later and say, you know what? I used to visit my grandparents every summer in Indiana or whatever, and their basement always flooded, you know? Or yeah, there was this time that we had a busted pipe, or there was always this musty smell coming from this place. And, you know, in general, if you're living in a place for about 6 months that has significant mold, it's going to be significant inside your body. Sometimes it can be less time than that. So that's heavy metals and chemicals. There's the plastics that we've accumulated in our body throughout time. You know, I used to drive around when I drove cross country, I would have a warm water bottle, plastic water bottle sitting next to me, and then I would drink it, right? Or, you know, all the plastic stuff that we stored our food in, that we would stick in the microwave, that would heat up our food, then we get plastics in our food, then we're consuming those things. So these are some of the ways that we accumulate these plastics in our bodies. So that's heavy metals and chemicals and molds, you know, and then in terms of the infections, when you have heavy metals, chemicals, and molds, they cause immune system dysfunction. And then that allows a lot of these infections to become opportunistic, whether it's Epstein-Barr, whether it's COVID, whether it's Lyme or Lyme co-infections, whether it's parasites, they can then become opportunistic. And sometimes it takes a tick bite or a mosquito bite or chigger bite or something that takes like a blood meal. Sometimes it's kissing this person or being sexually intimate with this person. You can get all of these infections. So it's not uncommon also for when people get together. Like you meet somebody new, you're intimate with them, and then all of a sudden, a couple months later, you start to feel badly from a health standpoint. Oftentimes, this is because you're swapping bugs with your partner. This actually happened with me and my wife. We got together, and what did I say? 3 months later, you know, she couldn't get out of bed. We were swapping bugs. She also, during that time period, had gone to Costa Rica, got a little bit of a bug. So she got a parasite during that time as well. So, you know, these are just some of the ways that we accumulate these things over time. But it's not all bad news, because the reality is that once you start down this path and you realize you need to remove these things and you start going through this process, is that you will get to a point where you've decreased the amount of toxins in your body. The immune system can come back online. Your mitochondria is functioning better, and then you feel tons better.
Yeah. Now you talk about sort of the energy drainers. You know, so are those in addition to all the toxins? I'm sure there's probably things that people are doing too that's going to just drain their energy from toxins.
So this is really when we're looking at, we can kind of categorize these into physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, energetic. So the physical drainers that we're talking about really are kind of like the toxic four, with the toxic, the fifth one being trauma. That's more of the psychological. So the mental, the emotional, you know, sometimes that's part of the spiritual, sometimes, you know, like, and then there's the spiritual sometimes, you know, where you're not living exactly your life the way that you want to, right? You're not aligned with your beliefs. And then there's the relationships, you know, being in toxic relationships. So all of these things will increase stress on the human organism and drain your energy.
Okay. So that's, yeah, it's important to know, because I think even in the functional medicine world, sometimes we latch on to a certain area, but we kind of overlook you know, I would say for sure conventional medicine and Western medicine, it's like, okay, we don't want to talk about that energetic, you know, psychological woo-woo, whatever. But it is a big part of that entire, your entire person. And so I agree that it's important for everybody to look at that. Now, tell me, you mentioned a little bit about infections, and almost all of us have the classic infections, right? We've all come in contact with it. Which ones would you say are the ones that are important to pay attention to? You know, obviously, you've got your Lyme and things like that, but you can test for a lot of infections, but I don't think that all of them are valid to worry about.
Correct. Yeah. And the testing, so when you have fatigue, you're tired all the time, you have autoimmune diseases, your immune system is dysfunctional. And so the testing for infections is asking the immune system about its reaction to these particular infections. So we're then asking a dysfunctional immune system to give us an accurate laboratory test, right? It just doesn't work well. And so this is kind of where the symptoms are really most important. But the reality is that the people that I see, they have the viruses, you know, really led by Epstein-Barr virus, but also HHV6 or cytomegalovirus, or even now COVID, the Lyme type infections, the Borrelia, the Bartonella, the Babesia, and then there are some bacteria and some yeast, and then also the parasites. So those are kind of the big ones that I see, where, you know, the majority of the people that I see have 90 to 100% of all of those. It's just more of a question about, you know, which ones they have and how much do they have. But those, you know, besides the serology tests, which look at the immune system's reaction to these infections, the other ways to assess by laboratory testing is to look at PCR tests or DNA tests of these infections. But if you look in the blood and the infection is not commonly in the blood, so let's say it likes to be in the joints or it likes to be in the muscles, and you're looking for DNA of the infection in the blood, it's not going to be there, right? Or if you're looking in the urine and it's not in the compartments that end up showing up in the urine, maybe in the lymph or whatnot, it's not going to be there. And so if you don't find it, or you're going to see a practitioner and they say, well, you don't have Epstein-Barr virus, you don't have Lyme disease, blah, blah, whatever, then they just say, well, we don't understand then why you're not feeling well. But the reality is, if you don't identify it, you're not going to treat it. So in that case, then you're missing out on a whole number of causes that then aren't treated. So oftentimes that's one of the first things, not one of the first things that we do, but one of the first things I realize when people come to see me is that there's causes that haven't been addressed. And if you haven't addressed all the causes that you have, then you haven't done everything, which is that, you know, everybody's like, oh, I've done everything. Well, you may feel like you've done everything, but if you haven't addressed these toxic five, you really haven't done everything, even if your laboratory tests show that you don't have those, which is kind of like hard for people to get their head around because people love laboratory tests and they love that data. But it is really an important point.
Hey there, are you over 40 and finding that a good night's sleep feels like a distant dream? Have no fear, I have cracked the code. I am offering a free ebook, A Woman's Guide to Kick-Ass Sleep, with insights tailored just for you. So if you're ready to dive into the secrets of sound sleep after 40, and wake up refreshed, zip over to sleep.hormoneshelp.com and snag that ebook. Your dreamy sleep awaits. Yeah, we have a lot of limitations when it comes to what our labs can really extract from what's really going on. You know, we have a long way to go there. And I do get a lot of people that come in with, you know, my Epstein-Barr is up. And I'm like, well, your immune system's responding. But again, your immune system's broken. So to what degree we see that. So I want to bring up said long-term viral infection that shall be here for forever that we're not allowed to talk about anymore. Talk specifically about long COVID, some of those things that we're starting to see because it exacerbates your top five.
Right.
It sits on top of it and then wreaks havoc. So I know you see a lot of that. I'd love to talk about it. I think people don't realize they're feeling bad because that triggered stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah, oftentimes it can be the straw that breaks the camel's back. So people think, okay, this was everything. You know, they got the virus and it's causing everything. But the thing is that the 35% of people who get COVID and end up with persistent symptoms are those that already had things in their body that kind of set the stage. So it's not random, okay? But when your immune system isn't functioning well because you have the toxic five, And then you get a virus like the COVID, which comes in and it basically just skirts around the immune system. Usually people have pretty mild symptoms, like, you know, I sailed through COVID, no problem. And it kind of gets in deeper. And then a month later or 2 months later, or I've seen even 6 months later, all of a sudden you get really weird symptoms. So maybe you've got really awful brain fog, or maybe you've got the fatigue, or maybe you've got muscle pain or muscle cramps or whatever. You can have up to 200 different symptoms that can be caused by the COVID, depending on where it goes in the body. So really important for people to realize, because once again, if you don't think about it, it's not going to be diagnosed or identified, and then it can't be treated.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's important for anybody listening to understand that what Dr. Hirsch is talking about right now is not just in the functional medicine community. CDC knows this, NIH, there's published studies looking at COVID, this trigger, it re-triggers old infections and old mold toxicity and all heavy metals. All of that has been documented in the literature, and that you have to kind of wind backwards and fix the trigger and work backwards. And if you're not addressing all of those five, you're missing it. And conventional medicine is still missing it, I think.
Yeah, unfortunately, with conventional medicine, you know, they're looking at symptom management. So, you know, of the 200 different symptoms that you get, if you have any sort of heart issues, then you go see the cardiologist at the post-COVID clinic. Or if you have any lung issues, you go to see the lung doctor, right? And so they're kind of missing what is actually happening underlying, you know, one of those being a persistent virus. So the reality is that COVID is still present and has to be addressed, in addition to the heavy metals, chemicals, molds, infections that's still there, and the trauma, you know, because all of those things cause the dysfunctional immune system, hormone deficiencies, et cetera, that end up being the precursor to the COVID.
Yeah. Now, do you see, I'm just curious, do you see certain symptoms that happen to be worse or uptick in conditions in women that are in perimenopause and menopause? Because obviously our hormones, particularly estrogen, plays a pretty significant role, and progesterone, at modulating our immune system. So I'm curious, because you're focused so much on kind of chronic infection, fatigue, what do you see clinically?
Absolutely. So when COVID comes into play, it's causing inflammation. That inflammation in turn causes chronic stress on all of the hormones. So all of the hormones get more deficient, right? And so then consequently, then we're seeing more adrenal symptoms and thyroid symptoms and sex hormone symptoms. So people whose menopausal symptoms they think were managed appropriately, or they came through menopause okay, or they're on bioidentical hormones, all of a sudden, they're having a hard time sleeping through the night. And so it's like, all right, well, let's uptick your estrogen a little bit. And then all of a sudden, they're sleeping through the night again, right? Or sometimes we have to boost their adrenals a little bit more and their thyroid a little bit more in order to make sure that the progesterone, estrogen, and testosterone are more optimized. So that's very common.
Okay. Yeah. And I think, you know, looking at the struggle women have already in this time period, you know, having any of those add to that additional, you know, burden is just too much for sure. Now, you have a very specific four-step process that you use to kind of uncover this. I'd love for you to kind of go into that, because I'm sure people now are like, either they're like, okay, this is me and I have a problem. And if you're fatigued, you do. And or they've been down this road and they might have seen a bunch of people and they feel like they've got a patchwork quilt, but no actual pathway.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the first step is to figure out the causes that somebody has. And so kind of like as we've talked about, you know, we would take a look at these 38 and determine which ones they have, especially the toxic five, because it's only once you identify those, as we've mentioned, that you can actually create a plan. And then the rest of the process is really matching up a treatment with the particular causes that people have. But we want to start off by making people more resilient. And so we do that in step two by replacing the deficiencies. So these are the deficiencies in adrenals and thyroid and mitochondria and sex hormones and vitamins and minerals and lifestyle habits. And so when we start to work on those, it's just going to make everything better. So it decreases inflammation, metabolism ends up working better, you end up having an uptick in your energy, your inflammation goes down, and then life is a lot more manageable. Because generally the people that I see, they're having a very hard time managing their life. They're feeling a lot more overwhelmed with tasks that used to not be overwhelming, but now even the smallest tasks can be overwhelming because of these deficiencies. So we optimize those deficiencies, takes about a month. and people are feeling better. Usually an uptick of energy of 1 or 2 points. Maybe their energy was like a 4 out of 10, with 10 being ideal energy. Then they're up to a 5, maybe a 6 out of 10. Then we go into step 3, where we're opening up the drainage pathways, basically creating an exit strategy for the toxins that we're going to be removing in step 4. And so this is opening up the liver and the kidney and the lymph and the neural lymph, which is in the brain, and the intestines and the gallbladder. So that we have an exit strategy when we go into step 4 and we start removing the heavy metals and the chemicals and the molds and the infections and the trauma. So this is kind of what I'm finding is most helpful. Now, one of the things that I forgot to mention in terms of lifestyle habits in step 2 is food. And so a lot of people are saying, well, you know, you don't talk a lot about food and sleep and movement and water. And we definitely do that in the program. But most of the people that I see, the reason why I don't spend a lot of time on it is because most of the people that I see have done those things till the cows come home, seeing their local naturopath or functional doctor or whatever, and they haven't had the success that they want. So we do those things in step 2. But, you know, the ways that we're different is really, you know, in terms of step 4 and making sure that we're removing these toxins. And one of the other things that's really important is that with step 3 and opening up those exit pathways is that this also mitigates the likelihood of having a die-off reaction or feeling worse when you're removing these toxins out of the body, because they're really ensconced. They're really dug into the body. And so when we start to remove these toxins, it can be hard on the body. And so kind of pivoting between step 3 and step 4, oftentimes increasing step 3 as we're ramping up on things in step 4, really helps to make sure that the toxins are flowing well out of the body. Because it's really that rate of how much toxin can we remove in a way that the body can tolerate that is so important.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because there's an order in which to do things, you know, that makes it less damaging for the person, damaging and also disruptive, because I'm sure you see people every day that are so sensitive to things that they're like, oh, I can't, I know I need supplements or I want to take supplements. I have a closet full of supplements, but I can't tolerate any of them.
Yeah, we're seeing more and more people with MCAS, mast cell activation syndrome, or just being more sensitive. And so then we have to do things a little bit differently. Oftentimes we're going to step 3 first and then to step 4. And we're using things topically, like a lot of the tinctures we do are rubbed into the hand instead of putting them in the mouth, you know, and so we're using a number of different things in order to get them to tolerate things better. But the reality is that I like to see, I envision this as kind of like humans are like a rain barrel that's full of toxins, and we're like poking a hole in the bottom of this rain barrel and we're letting the toxins drip out. And it really is, like you mentioned, you know, that rate that, you know, people will tolerate things at different rates. And so we have to make sure that it's the rate that's appropriate for the individual so that they can feel better through this process. You know, I tell people, I want you to feel this much worse, so just a little bit worse, so that we know something is happening. But we also then want to mitigate that feeling as we proceed through this process.
Yeah, I see that a lot. And, you know, there's so many people out online that are like, here's my protocol. Here's my 30 days to heavy metal detox. And they're like, okay, I'm now debilitated. It's like, okay, that's not how it works. It's like, right, that's not generally safe. So I'm glad that you sort of pointed out how it needed to be done in order. And that order may be different by person, right?
Like, absolutely.
Like, we have a paradigm in which it usually works, but everybody is unique in that, you know, and that you take that into effect. I want to touch on sleep too, because obviously, particularly my population, let's face it, perimenopause and menopause, that's a huge concern, is adequate sleep. And it's so intertwined with fatigue, right? Causative and also connected and secondary too. Go into that a little bit, because I think that's a whole challenge for people that often gets mismanaged.
Absolutely. So people are generally surprised when I tell them that I get more people to sleep at night by giving them things in the morning. And a lot of this has to do with us recreating the circadian rhythm. So, you know, ideally you would have stimulating things happening, hormones and nutrients, et cetera, happening in the morning time and kind of coming down throughout the day so that you're able to fall asleep and stay asleep. But the challenge is when you're crashing throughout the day, so you have like energy and then you're crashing energy and you're crashing like throughout the day, this is exactly what's happening at night as well. So you don't have this very nice smooth curve. So then at night, you're awake and you're asleep. You're awake and you're asleep, you know? And so then you're kind of waking up throughout the night. And so that's why it's so important to kind of get some of these things on board to recreate that circadian rhythm. So adrenals, thyroid, mitochondria, B12, all of these things are really important first thing in the morning. And then, you know, if you do need the bioidentical hormones, it's like the estrogen and the progesterone at night. And if you do need the testosterone, oftentimes I'm doing that during the day, but you can also do that at night. So, you know, and the progesterone is going to help women fall asleep. The estrogen is going to help them stay asleep. So, you know, recreating that using some of these, replacing some of these deficiencies plays a big role. And that circadian rhythm, as we mentioned previously, can all get disrupted from the stressors of these toxic five, either it's mental, emotional, physical, whatever kind of stressor that comes into your life. And then all of a sudden your circadian rhythm is off again. So it does require that attention, but this is what I felt to be most effective.
Yeah. Now tell me, so obviously you work with people one-on-one. You kind of talked about that. How do you work with your clients and patients?
So we have different levels of support. We have a program for almost every budget at this point in time. And we have one-on-ones with me and my health coach. We also have group calls several times a month. And then we have an online community where I guarantee a response to a question within 2 business days. So I feel like it's really important as you're going through a process, whether you're like going through it through our workbook and videos, or whether you're going through it with some of our one-on-ones, where you need a response to your questions in an expeditious fashion. So that's very important to me. And so sometimes people are going through our course and the workbook, and when they have a question, they ask it in the online community, and then we have a response, and then they can pivot, they can start making the changes that they need, they feel better, and they can continue on to the next step as part of this process. Because all of our programs are 12 months. Now, this is one thing that I changed a number of years ago, and this was really helpful because people really need to understand the expectation that it's going to be a minimum of 12 months to remove these toxins out of the body. Now, step 2 takes a month and step 3 takes a month, but step 4 is really where the magic happens, and that's going to take the rest of 12 months and then beyond. And so it's really just about figuring out what causes you have, taking what you need for it, and then having that support along the way in different ways to make sure you get your questions answered so that you can pivot, because that's really, that's always what's needed because everybody's an individual. And so when you have that support and you're able to keep pivoting, you don't get stuck, right? How many times have people seen practitioners and they get to a certain point where they get stuck and the practitioner doesn't really know what to do with them? This is the way that we make sure that you don't get stuck so that you continue to make progress and that you end up reaching your goal of the energy that you want and the resolution of your symptoms.
Yeah, I think it's important that people also hear that kind of as an expectation. You know, these toxins have built up over a lifetime, and in many cases, we're in our 30s, 40s, 50s or more, and they don't come out that quickly. It's not, we don't have a magic pill yet. And I know that for a lot of people, they probably come to you after probably seeing lots of people, and they're feeling worse than they did before, and that they feel kind of stuck. But to truly do these things properly, it has to be done slowly and appropriately for each individual. And it's usually not an overnight fix.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So where can my clients find you?
Yeah. So I'm at energymdmethod.com. And they can text me directly on that website. So in the bottom right-hand corner, they can click on a little button, send me a message. We can start a conversation. We have free 20-minute calls with me that are available right now to see if we're a good fit for any one of our programs. We're very transparent about all of our pricing and all the different programs that we have. We've got the one-on-one, the group programs, the course, all online, so they can kind of see what's included in each of those. So, you know, we're on a mission to help 1 million people resolve their chronic fatigue and long COVID and MCAS. So we're really trying to serve everybody based on, you know, what their budget entails. If this resonates with you, come check us out.
Absolutely. Now, I do want to ask, I think you have some free gifts. I think you have a checklist that they can also have. Like if they're like, maybe this is me, not sure, you know, would you tell them a little bit about that checklist? Because I think it would be very cool for them to go online, and we'll put that in the show notes so everybody has it. So you can go do your checklist and go, is this me? You need to identify it.
Absolutely. So yeah, so this is the step one checklist. And so you'd be able to go through, this is part of our step one process. And so based off of your symptoms, you can go through this checklist and you're going to know 75% or more of the different causes that you have. So it's just a very powerful tool that can, you know, it's one of the most important. I mean, there's four very important steps, but it's really the most important step because if you've missed some of the causes that you have, you're not going to treat it, right? So it's free. Come check it out.
We will, everybody. We'll put that in the show notes so you can get to it directly from our show notes. So you can go take the quiz and look at it and obviously look up Dr. Hirsch and get your answers finally for your fatigue problems. So, Evan, I am so glad to have you on Menopause Mastery. It has been a wonderful conversation.
Betty, thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for listening to Menopause Mastery. Again, go to our show notes, check out the checklist, get some information from Dr. Evan. And if you love this episode, give us a thumbs up, give us a star, and subscribe.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Menopause Mastery podcast. You are why I'm here, and I am so very grateful. Hit subscribe so you don't miss any wisdom on creating the most exceptional life on our terms. If this episode has helped you in any way, please share it with a friend to spread the love, and together we rise. You can follow me on social media at Betty Murray, PhD, and you can reach me online at BettyMurray.com.